My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, I'm going to return this week to looking at the last chapters of Deuteronomy. You'll recall a few talks back we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 27, and this morning we are going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses. The subject is entitled, All These Blessings Shall Come on Thee. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that Yahweh thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, in the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. Yahweh shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee. Yahweh shall establish thee as an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. And Yahweh shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his seasons, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And Yahweh shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. As the children of Israel are about to enter into the land of Israel, Moses continues his exhortation unto them. And in the 28th chapter, he gives them blessings and cursings, warnings and predictions. We see throughout the history of Israel that when they walked in the commandments of the Lord, that every blessing that is spoken of in this chapter came unto them. Everything they did prospered. They were protected. The enemies of Israel could never overcome them. But when they fell away from the word, cursings followed. And it's interesting, and we'll consider these in future exhortations, Yahweh willing, that the majority of the 28th chapters dwelt with everything that would happen to them if they did wrong. In just 14 short verses as to what would happen if they obeyed the Lord. So the theme of these first 14 verses is blessing. Berek or berekah are the two Hebrew words that are used for blessed and blessing here, occurs 10 times in the chapter, which is very significant. 10 refers to the completeness of the Lord's plan. Think of all the times that we come across the number 10 in Scripture that refer to the completeness of a subject and how vital that is. 10 commandments are given. There were 10 virgins of the household, for instance. One time, the Hebrew word is used in introduction, and that is in verse 2. And then the other 9 times is how the blessings will come. This, I think, is significant as well. For only when unity is combined with good judgment, 9 representing judgment, will blessings truly flow. And ultimately, this chapter is a prophecy, therefore, isn't it? For the time when mankind will truly be made one with Yahweh, or I should say, the saints made one with Yahweh in unity and in judgment and in blessing. The first 2 verses give us the path to blessings. Now, obviously, the verses are written to Israel. They were spoken to the tribes before they enter into the land. But the exhortation is just as pertinent to us. Verse 1 says, And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. Well, there's the first step. The first step in obedience, the first step to obtaining the blessings of the Heavenly Father are to hearken diligently, to hear correctly, to be attentive to the word, to make sure that we fully understand and grasp the promises as they are laid out before us. Very important memory verse, Romans 10:17, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that is a very important truth for us. Let's look also at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2 and 3. And I know I often do not give you time to turn up verses. Pardon me, my brain and tongue are really not in gear today because of this head cold. That's probably not the first time, even though that was 3 times in one sentence that I mispronounced something, probably not the first time I'm going to do that today. Isaiah 55, 2 through 3. What I was about to say is I'm going to try to turn up more verses today and try to look at all the individual verses less. That's what my original point was. Okay. Isaiah 55, 2 through 3. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in self, in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Well, I have no doubt that the blessings that are contained in those first 14 verses that referred to how they were going to be abundant in the harvest and in their livestock and everything they were brought in is a truth that would come to pass. But ultimately, those things are typical as well. And though I'm not going to spend a lot of time speaking directly on them, think about what Isaiah 55 has here to say for us. Obedience to the word. Hearken diligently unto the word. What does it bring? It brings great delight. We will eat to the full. We will eat to the fatness. Hearing of the word of God is the ultimate of life. The ultimate of life. It brings us peace. It brings us comfort. It brings us understanding, both in the trials that we face and the glory to come. 2 Timothy 2:15, another memory verse, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Another very important aspect. We must first hear the word. We have to study it. We have to cut aright the words of truth. You know, that's what Timothy's referring to there, is to cut straight. We have to be able to correctly understand the word. And then the second aspect, the second step on the road to blessing in verse 1 of chapter 28 is not just hearken diligently. It's not all of that. How does that phrase finish? It is to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Moses exhorted the people not to just obey what they wanted to obey. And this is the problem with the flesh, isn't it? We're all very good at obeying certain portions of the scripture, but we fall on others, do we not? But the exhortation to each and every one of us is we need to do all that the Lord has commanded. When we find that there are weaknesses in our life, we have to work on them. Doing the word of God is of extreme importance, because how is it that a man's faith is shown? But by his actions and what he does. Let's look at James chapter 1, a very well-known verse to us, and let's read the 22nd verse. James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, in his doing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, we have an exhortation to doing as well. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? For what? For what purpose? The rest of the verse says it. That ye should show forth the praises. The margin here says the virtues, the deeds, the doing of the commandments. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we know how often the Lord commanded that we needed to be doers of the word. We know that he exhorted, don't expect to stand before me in the judgment and be those who have never performed the works that were set before him in Matthew 7:24. Be ye doers of the word and hearers as well. Israel was told that if they did these things, a great reward would be given unto them. And while there would be natural truth to this promise, we certainly know in the ultimate, it was the kingdom that was pointed toward. But they were told that they would be set on high above all the nations of the earth. And in the glory of David and Solomon, these words were certainly fulfilled. They were the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, marveled at by all. But we do know that there is prophecy in here as well, and great blessing to look forward to. Psalm 91 in verse 14. Let's take a look at that. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Speaking of the believer, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's look at Micah chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of Yahweh our God forever and ever. In that day, saith Yahweh, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is afflicted, and I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Zion. And we expect that this first verse will be completely fulfilled for those that Moses spoke to who fell under the bonds of the Abrahamic covenant, the everlasting covenant, and were obedient to those words. Not only did they enjoy long life in the land, but we know they will be exalted in the kingdom of God through the reign of Jesus the Christ. The second verse is very interesting in that it portrays the fact that as thoroughly as sin can overtake one and make them a captive to death, so can righteous make one a captive to life. Note the words, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God. The Hebrew word for overtake, nasak, has that idea of to thoroughly embrace one and to capture them so that they cannot escape. The idea is, through the blessings of Yahweh, if we do his word, if we hearken diligently and do it, his promises take such a firm hold that there is no escape from that blessing. The word is translated as to hold onto something in Psalm 40 and 12. And I'm going to look at this on my iPad here, so don't try to turn it up. I won't give you enough time to get to this one. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. That word hold there is the same word. And note that it's used in a very negative sense here. In Isaiah 35, 10, and the ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain, and that's the same word, joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And in Isaiah 51, 11, therefore shall the redeemed of Yahweh return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain, that's the same word, gladness and joy. But God manifestation is the key here. Before we came to the truth, we were held firmly captive to sin. When one enters into the truth, they need to understand that we are the servants of righteousness and that that is the path to obtaining these blessings. Godliness is the key. In 1 Timothy 4:8, and let's turn that one up. First Timothy 4:8. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Make sure that we are manifesting the truths of the Heavenly Father. In verses 3 through 5 of the chapter, there's a lot of interesting things that we could take the time to talk about, types and shadows, natural blessings, but I'm going to move past those to the 6th verse. And in the 6th verse, it says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, this is an interesting phrase, and I'm not so sure that we completely get the Hebrew idiom there sometimes. The phrase here is telling us from start to finish, from birth to death, or birth in the truth, possibly we should say, that we will prosper if we obey the commandments of the Heavenly Father. In chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, and in the 2nd verse, the sense of this phrase can be fully understood when we see how Moses uses it there. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 2, Moses said, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. I can no more go out and come in. The days of his probation were coming to an end. So then this phrase, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed thou shalt be when thou goest out, is a reference to our probationary walk. When we come into the truth, and then, if you will, through death, when we go out of it in unconsciousness, hopefully to return to it in the resurrection, we would add. Psalm 121 in verse 8, Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The idea set before us is whatever we put our hand to when we are doing the commandments of God will prosper, and we will prosper. Doesn't mean we'll be filthy rich. That's not necessarily what is said here, though there have been great men of faith who have been quite wealthy and have used that wisely. But we will prosper in everything we do if our life is governed by the commandments of God. In verses 7 and 8, we read of the great protection that Israel would receive from their enemies. And these verses provide comfort for us as well. If Israel was told that their enemies would flee seven ways before them, what about us? If Israel was promised that the enemies would never prevail over them, what about us? Everything that we would do would be prosperous. But let's look for a moment closer at the ninth verse. Yahweh shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh. Now, there's no question that they were a separated people for his name. They were called holiness. But there's something that I think is quite interesting about this verse. And it's expressive of the truth. We can do all the work of Yahweh. We can obey his commandments. We can be obedient to the full. But only he can pronounce us holy. We cannot make ourselves that. The flesh is the flesh. In the flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. But through the atoning work of Jesus Christ and through the mercy of the Heavenly Father, can we be established as an holy people. What a great blessing then this verse really takes us to. Now I read verse 1 Peter 2:9 earlier. Let's turn back to that and read verses 9 and 10. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The ultimate thing for us to look forward to is not that by obeying the commandments and doing the word of God and hearkening diligently unto the Lord that we have a good life now. What's important is what is to come. Will we, at the judgment seat of Christ, be vindicated? Will we be made holy in the complete sense? There is no question that if we obey the commandments of the Lord now, that we are holiness unto the Lord. But I believe the ultimate that is referred to here is to be made completely separated and holy unto the name of the Father, consubstantial with him in the kingdom age. Verse 10 kind of continues with this thought. And all the people of the earth shall see thou art called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee. Rotherham renders this, the name of Yahweh hath been called upon thee. There's a complete identification with the Yahweh name here. We should be able to identify it now in the days of our probation. At this point, are the nations afraid of you and me? Will they be in the future if we are found acceptable at the judgment seat? Most definitely. when they see that the name of Yahweh is called upon each and every one of us. What a great blessing and hope to look forward to. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. Well, let me back up to verse 6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. In verses 11 through 13, we have more blessings that are reiterated, some of which had already been promised and now have been repeated unto them. We might take a second to make mention in verse 12 that it says, Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven. The seasons would bless Israel. And as we're studying in the Mosaic ordinances now, we see how that would come to pass and how the seasons would be great blessings to them in their harvest and in their festival feast. They would find great blessings. It's reiterated in that verse once again how that the nations would look to them for help, look to them for wealth. It is mentioned in verse 13, very importantly, that Israel would be the head and not the tail. And we know in the future, this will be a complete reality. While it certainly did find some fulfillment during the righteous reigns of those kings who were pronounced as righteous kings in Israel. The 14th verse of this series of blessings concludes with a summation. Before entering into the curses that would come upon them, and indeed the prophecies of what would happen to them, because Moses, through the divine hand of God, knew what would come upon them. Speaking, I believe, and would suggest, certainly to all of Israel, but in particular to those who would hearken diligently, that few that would be faithful, Moses reiterated the process to blessing. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. Let me add a few words, if it's okay. Not to the right hand, not to the left. Not to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass that we must hearken to the words of the Lord diligently to receive blessings and not the cursings that verse 15 brings upon us. All right, that 14th verse says we're not to go aside in any way. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and read verses 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, the Proverbs here presents our probationary walk as just that, a walk. We must stay upon the straight and narrow path. We can't wander off of it. Is it easier to do that by yourself or with a group of believers? I think that also we see, just as Moses spoke unto a nation, he prophetically speaks to the ecclesias here as well. It's our purpose, brethren, together to walk along that path, not turning to the right or to the left, to establish our ways. We need the help of one another to keep us upon that path. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by Yahweh, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Yahweh upholdeth him with his hand. Keep our paths ordered in the way of Yahweh, and even when we stumble, he will lift us up. Joshua chapter 1 in verse 7. Finally, let's look there. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Quite some time had been endeavored here in teaching Israel the paths of truth, the path to life eternal, the paths to obedience. And the exhortation at the end of his life now is to stay upon those words. And they are pertinent to us. I think it's interesting and probably deserves more consideration than I have given to it in this exhortation. Perhaps in your studies you might try to find correlations between the two. Israel was told a prophet like Moses one day would come. Moses here in these 14th verses speaks of blessings. Isn't it interesting that when the prophet like Moses comes, when he began his ministry, and when he stood upon the mount and gave his policy speech, what did he start with? But a series of blessings. Matthew chapter 5, perhaps we should close by looking and reading there the first 16 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Note the difference there. The people could not come up unto the mount with Moses, but under the law of Christ, he invites them to come up on the mount unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Look at all of these in a spiritual sense, brethren, not literally. Look at the spiritual lesson. Blessed are the poor, the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn for Zion. Mourn for righteousness. Mourn for the manifestation of God throughout the earth, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who have been meek to the truth, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, who have studied the word daily, who yearn for its fulfillment, who look forward to doing those commandments, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, They know they have been given mercy and they are willing to give it to others, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they know they must work to put the flesh out of their lives and to make their walk pure before the eyes of God. For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they've studied the truth, they have hearkened to it diligently, and they have learned how to make peace, not through man's wisdom, but through the word of truth, which is the only effective peacemaker there is. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And might we just add, as a personal note, for in doing that, all the blessings will flow upon us. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. And with that, we'll enter into the memorial service with the singing of hymn 156. Deck thyself, my soul, with gladness. Put away thy robes of sadness. In his resurrection splendor, praise to God our Lord did render. Hymn 156.